Here's a quick word from our football educational partners over at the Scouting Academy.
Listen, we've said it all the time. If you love the analysis and you're passionate about football, then you really need to check out the Scouting Academy. Whether you're a football coach, aspiring writer, or even aspiring football agent, the Scouting Academy is really a perfect place for you to learn and develop your skills as an analyst. With curriculum that spans over 375 years of coaching and personnel experience, the Scouting Academy offers you a 16-week online course that you can tailor and build to meet your needs and your interests. Whether you're learning about wide receivers or defensive linemen, you can make the experience what you want it to be. Listen, I've said it to you on this podcast many times. I've spent my own money, my own time, and time away from my friends and family because I am just this passionate about this game. And the Scouting Academy is the place where I really feel like I've learned the most I've ever learned about the game of football. It's made me a better analyst. It's made me a better person in terms of the coaching I do on the field. I can't say enough great things about it. If you have any questions about the Scouting Academy, please don't hesitate to reach out to Dan Hatman on Twitter or reach out to the Scouting Academy online via email. I'm open to all questions as well. Heck, I'm still even a student there myself. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I really think that once you learn all the tools and gain the knowledge that they have to offer, I really think you're going to be absolutely excited about the game of football again.
This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome to a special edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and the first day of the combine workouts are complete. The running backs and offensive lines just finished up, and after live tweeting my thoughts all day, I figured let me jump on and record a short instant reaction to what I saw today for our loyal listeners. I'll start right at the top with the running backs. I'll give some thoughts on the O-line as well because I was watching and live tweeting about them all day as well. The running backs, a couple guys really jumped off. I'm not going to run through 40 times and, you know, agility drill times and jumps. You know, you can look that all up. I kind of want to give my instant analysis on what I saw today. I thought the biggest winners or the guys generating the most buzz from the running back position today were one, Miles Sanders out of Penn State. He was a guy Matt and I thought was going to generate a lot of buzz at the combine, and he lived up to that. Came in running a really good 40 time, the official time under 4.5. In addition to that, he had two good jumps in the vertical and the broad jump, looked really good in the running back and pass catching drills, looked really smooth, showed good hands. The NFL Network broadcast was talking him up a lot. They had a split screen comparing his measurements, his numbers today to Alvin Kamara. While they're different players, their size, their height, their weight, and their combine numbers really matched up well. You know, and again, this has been a guy who he's been in my top five. He's not leaving my top five. I think now today's performance pushes him into the day two range as one of the top five or six running backs in the NFL draft this year. I love his combination of his athleticism, his size, his frame, his running skill, his receiving ability, his ability to absorb contact well, and his cutting ability. He can make people miss in tight spaces as well. So I thought he was a big winner. Justice Hill out of Oklahoma State ran the fastest 40 time today at 4.40, was at the top of the board in terms of the broad and vertical jumps as well, was having an outstanding day. Unfortunately, he came up with a little bit of an injury, so wasn't able to complete the rest of the workout today, but he's a guy in that round three, round four range who may have just solidified his spot in the top 100 picks as a versatile weapon who checked off that athleticism box today, you know, which is what we were expecting, but I think he even showed more explosion and quickness and speed than I personally was even expecting to see. A couple other running backs that really stood out, Raquel Armstead. He's a guy who Matt and I talked a lot about on our running back tier show. He's a guy that great contact fidelity. Matt put something out on Twitter a couple weeks ago. It's on our website right now. You know, great size, physicality, toughness. But what stunned me today was his speed and his burst. You know, he ran like a 4.46, or, you know, I don't know what the official time was, that or somewhere in that range, 4.46 to 4.48. I was expecting a much slower time. So the fact that he has that burst and speed as part of his game, I mean, that's where the combine kind of gets exciting. You know, he didn't show that as often. I thought he had good short area bursts and quickness, but to see that kind of long speed too, combined with the contact fidelity that he presents, I think Armstead is a big winner. I think he could be a guy who, you know, when I was seeing some round four buzz, I thought it was personally a little bit too high, but I think I'm starting to see why people maybe think Armstead could be that guy that comes off the board somewhere early on in day three and be, you know, a part of a committee and really, you know, make a name for himself. Some other running backs, Alex Barnes out of Kansas State looked really fluid and smooth in all of the on-field drills, the rushing drills, and then really excelled in the receiving drills. He would be like a bigger third down type back. He's great in pass protection, you know, and his receiving capabilities really shine today. So I think Barnes is a guy who really helped himself today. Damian Harris out of Alabama checked off the speed box even faster than I expected to see. Good jumps. He's another guy in my top five, not moving him from there. I think he's really good at just about everything, even though he might not have one elite trait or calling card. Another guy that really generated some buzz today was Travis Homer. I think people have been sleeping on him. And since last summer, Matt, myself, I know Nick Whelan, who writes the Devy Report, and the guys over at Devy Watch, we've been trying to tell people that Travis Homer is a really good player. He's got better athleticism, better quickness, better speed than people think, in addition to his receiving ability. And I think people all year were just a little bit too low on him. Homer came out today and really shined in just about every category, the 40, the bolt jumps, the on-field drills. We have not gotten, as of this recording, the times on the agility drills yet. They may have not even completed them yet. So we'll have to look at those numbers. I expect him to test really well in those as well. So those are the guys who I think really stood out the most today. I guess one other name up row in the mix, or two names, is Mike Weber. I thought he was going to run a good 40 time and show better athleticism than people gave him credit for. He ended up running a 4.48. So he really looked good in that. He looked good in the on-field drills. He's another guy that kind of got lost in the shuffle there. J.K. Dobbins kind of stole the main starting gig there, but he's got athleticism. He's got speed. He's got burst. He's been the guy that Matt's been talking up for years at Ohio State. And I think he's going to be a guy who, I know people think it's rare, but sometimes we get those better running backs in the pros than we did in college. I think Mike Weber is going to be one of those guys who has a legitimate chance to be a better pro than he was collegiate player. And one other guy, Trevion Williams, ran a 4.51. I think that was a better time than some people were expecting. I really liked this game, so I was expecting him to test pretty well today. I thought he has some burst, explosion, combined with his receiving ability, return ability, and pass protection that's going to make people really take note of him. On the flip side, a couple things that stood out, you know, on the other aspect of it. The first one was Elijah Holyfield. I mean, Elijah Holyfield's game is not built on speed, but to see him run two runs that were approximately 4.8, were really stunning. I thought for him, you know, run 4.6, run 4.62, and that's, you know, that's okay. That's not a big part of his game, but to run that slow is going to send me going back to his tape, because I thought he had some short area burst and quickness. I thought he had even some lateral quickness when I watched him. So to see him run that slowly, I think is a big red flag for him, because he already doesn't have the receiving capabilities. So now if people think he's slow and he's not a receiver, then he really only has going for him, you know, that physicality, toughness as an in-between runner. So I'm going to have to go back and watch some more film on Elijah Holyfield to see if I was missing something or what happened out there today. Darrell Henderson, which some people thought was going to maybe be the fastest 40 time. His first time was like a 4.53. Then his second one was a 4.37. It ended up being that the second one wasn't really accurate. His official time ended up being 4.49, which I think is okay with Henderson. I truly do. I thought he was going to be a guy in that 4.42 to 4.45. We know he has some explosion and bursts in his big plays that he did there at Memphis. I know he had gaping holes, so I think that aided in his huge yards per carry, which I don't think is very relevant, but I think he checked off the box that he needed to. So I don't think Henderson was someone who walked away from here as, you know, a loser or anything like that. I think he solidified who he is. He's got enough burst and long speed to be a big play threat. But some of that you have to take into context of the offense that he played in, the level of competition. And if you watch the film close enough, you don't see, you know, you see a lot of wide rushing lanes and holes. I hadn't seen rushing lanes like that since Rashard Penny at San Diego State. So I think there's still some concerns about his agility and elusiveness in close quarters and his vision, you know, when things are a little bit more congested. Those are some areas that I want to see, because I just don't think we saw a lot of that at Memphis because he had such wide open rushing lanes. A couple other things that stood out. I think David Montgomery kind of checked off the boxes that we expected. You know, we didn't think he was going to run a blazing time. I thought he looked good in the drills. So Montgomery, you know, I think solidified who he is. Tony Pollard, I thought, was going to run a little bit faster. Another guy from Memphis who I thought maybe was going to be a 4.45 type guy. He ended up running right in the high 4.4s or, you know, low 4.5s. I think his official time ended up being right around 4.5. So he wasn't that far off, but I thought he had a legitimate shot maybe to crack like 4.4. And so he came a little bit in a little bit slower than I thought, but I still love his versatility as an offensive chess piece, receiver, returner, rusher. You can do a lot with Tony Pollard. One other guy who stood out a little bit, Jordan Scarlett. The running back out of Florida ran his 40 times a lot better than I expected. I thought he was going to be more of a 4.6 guy or 4.65. So for him to come in under 4.5 in the high 4.4s, I thought was really impressive. You combine that with his aggression, his physical running style. I'm going to have to go back and watch some more film on Scarlett, see if maybe he's a little bit better than I thought. I thought he was more of a late day pre-pick, maybe in like round 7 or even a priority free agent. But, you know, his speed today stood out a little bit more when you compare him to guys like Benny Snell or Elijah Holyfield. That I'm going to have to go back and watch a little bit more film on Jordan Scarlett to see if maybe he's not that far off those other guys that I have ranked, you know, 10, 12 spots higher, you know, and see if he belongs a little bit higher on that list, which is what the combine's all about. It's about using it as another data point. Jordan Scarlett, once upon a time, was a big recruit. He had some off the field issues. He was suspended for a year. So he's kind of been flying under the radar a little bit. And this is an opportunity for a guy maybe to generate some buzz, make you go back and watch some more film. And maybe he's a guy that should be more, you know, in that earlier date for remix. Maybe he's a round 5 guy or a round 6 guy, not a round 7 UDFA type. So I want to go back and watch some more film on Jordan Scarlett. Besides that, I don't think there was too much else at the running back position. The last big name who I haven't brought up yet was Devin Singletary. We knew he was quicker, more agile than fast. He came in with two times that were in the 4.6s. I think that was a little bit slower than we were expecting. I was expecting more like 4.5 to 4.55 for Devin Singletary because I didn't see that long speed. It was one of my concerns. I still think he's got good athleticism. I still love his short area quickness and burst. I still love his agility, his ability to make people miss. He's very elusive in the open field, his cutting ability. But that is a little bit of a red flag that it wasn't at least like just checking the boxes off of like a 4.5 or 4.55 to see two runs in the 4.6s. I don't think it changes too much. I still think he's a day three guy. I mean, I'm sorry, I still think he's a day two guy, probably round three. But now I would say wouldn't be totally stunned if he's sitting there in the start of round 4. I still think he goes off the board round 3. I think there's enough buzz with him, but I do think teams will go back and want to look a little bit more at him with that 40 time. But I still think he should be a round 3 type guy. I was never really buying the round 2 hype on him. I was always thought he was more of a round 3 guy, and I still think he could be a round 3 guy. But with the 40 numbers, I could see a scenario where maybe he falls to the early part of round 4, but I don't think it changes his stock too much whatsoever. If I flip this over real quick to the offensive linemen and talk a little bit about them, there was a whole lot of guys that I thought stood out really well today. You know, and I'm only going to mention the really big names because obviously O-line is not something that we study in depth. But, you know, for people who are fans of the combine, watch everything, take everything in. I do think there were some impressive performances. I think it's a really good offensive line class. It might not have the elite top 5, top 10 type players. I think Jonah Williams is the only one that could potentially go in the top 10. But in the top 100, there is a lot of talent in this class to get starters in the top 100 picks. picks on this offensive line class. I already mentioned Jonah Williams' name, so I'll start there. I thought he checked the boxes today. He looked athletic, good fluid mover in terms of all the drills. So I think Jonah Williams clearly still in contention to be a top 10 pick in this draft. The other guy that I thought really stood out today as one of the better guys is Andre Dillard out of Washington State. Really impressive performances from him. Checked the boxes that we wanted to see. Really athletic, good movement skills. A guy who got good, combines that with good play strength. I think he has a legitimate chance to be the second offensive lineman off the board after Jonah Williams. Really like his overall talent. Tested out really well today in all the different drills out there. So Andre Dillard was another big winner. Another guy from the first O-line group that stood out was Garrett Bradbury, the center. Probably could play guard as well. If you're a team that likes to get your center on the move, Garrett Bradbury is perfect for that type of scheme. He can play basically any scheme. He's very versatile. He's very talented, good play strength, really good athleticism. You saw Garrett Bradbury today really have an impressive on-field session as well. So Bradbury is a guy clearly in that late first round, maybe even mid first round range now. I thought maybe he could be a late or early two, but I think after today, he solidified himself with a round one grade. I'd be stunned if he's not taken in the first round after how good he looked today and how athletic and checking off that box. And then there's a whole bunch of other guys who I think are legitimate day two talents that I thought really performed well today as well. A couple intriguing names, you know, that I think did really well was Chris Lidstrom out of Boston College. If your team, again, zone running team, like your guards to get out and pull, I think Lidstrom is the guy for you. At a Boston College, you know they always are good techniques, but he has an athleticism about him that's really impressive. Lidstrom looked really good today in everything that he did, was a fan of his game. Eric McCoy, another interior lineman at Texas A&M, I think he's solidified himself as a top 100 pick. He performed really well today in all drills, looked really good in all the workouts on the field as well. So I think Eric McCoy is a guy who you're going to see go off the board in round two or early round three. Caleb McGarry out of Washington, I think he's a plug and play, either right tackle or interior offensive lineman at guard. He did well today. I thought he held his own and looked good. So a lot of guys really checked boxes today. Greg Little, listen, athleticism is something with him that he's got good length. He's got to clean up his footwork a little bit and some of his techniques, but I still think Greg Little is a guy who should come off the board. He could sneak into round one, probably early day two, but he can be a plug and play starting tackle with upside, you know, for the offensive line of any team that drafts him. He can be put right in. Other guys that looked really good today that I thought under the radar guy, Trey Pipkins out of Sioux Falls was a guy who, great size, good frame, had really good athleticism and movement skills today. I thought he looked really good. Dalton Risner out of Kansas State, he's been generating buzz since the Senior Bowl. He checked off the boxes that you wanted to see. Again, he's not a really fast guy, but he looked good in the drills. I thought he's a guy who made a name, who continued to make a name for himself. In terms of a guy who made a name for himself, I think that's Tyler Romner out of San Diego State. He's a guy who I was hoping to get a chance to see today. And while he didn't look as quick as I thought maybe he was going to look in some of the drills, I still think he's a guy with great size, above average athleticism, good in pass protection, can play either tackle, who's going to intrigue NFL teams. So I still think he's a guy on that round three, round four border. I think he did what he had to do today, even though I was expecting him to look a little bit quicker in some of the on-field drills. And then one last name, Max Sharping out of Northern Illinois. Again, under the radar a little bit, but I think he's a guy with between his athleticism, his size, his frame, his strength. This is a guy who moved really well in the on-field drills. I think he has a legitimate chance to go day two of the NFL draft as well. So there it is, my quick instant reactions to the first day of the combine in terms of the on-field, you know, 40-yard drills, workouts for the running back and the offensive line prospects. I'm hoping to do this for the wide receivers and the tight ends and quarterbacks tomorrow, and possibly for the defensive linemen on Sunday as well with the linebackers. Matt and I will definitely be back early next week where we kind of recap the entire combine. By then, all the official numbers will be out. We'll be able to kind of sort through it and see really who put together the best athletic profiles from all the positions, and also really get a full picture, because right now we don't know how the change of direction drills for when some of these guys, the shuttles, the pre-cones, all that stuff is to be determined. And that really is a significant part of the complete athletic profile of these guys. But I thought it would be good to kind of bring you this podcast today, just to kind of share my thoughts. I picked up a lot of followers today on Twitter. Thank you for all the support of people following me, tweeting at me, asking me questions. I really do enjoy that. And hopefully all weekend, you guys are doing it and I get to interact with you. So on behalf of Matt, on behalf of our sound and tech engineer, David Nakano, thank you for joining us. And we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.